You know, I find preaching an interesting thing. It's, been doing it a good while, and I still find it fascinating. I find it very interesting, just the whole process and how God chose that as the means to distribute His Word to people. But just on my side of the coin, here I've just learned that I have to, sometimes when I'm up late at night, most of you know I'm a night owl, so I'm working on things usually at nighttime. Well, when I wake up the next day and I look at my notes, I think, my God, what does that mean? So I've kind of learned before, you know, get up a little bit earlier and re-examine those points and things and try and put them in some in sync order that makes sense in the morning that it didn't make sense before that. So anyway, I want to talk to you about water baptism. Isn't that a great popular subject? I mean, you hear a lot of messages on water baptism. You hear a lot of it said, but I think a lot of people, what they think about water baptism is you just end up getting wet. God wants you to end up get dunked and get wet, and that's pretty much the deal. And there's a lot more to it than that. And for me, even before I was a Christian, because of the influence of movies in my life, hanging out at the Garden Oak Theater all the time, and then television coming in, and all these movies that I saw, and a good number of those, when people wanted to get right with God, they went and got dunked in water. And so when I became a Christian, and right before I became, that was extremely important. I thought that must be the key to some peace, because I wasn't really in peace pre-Christ. I was in a lot of struggles within my soul, of which I tried not to acknowledge, tried not to work with. But I thought on particularly the night that I did come to know the Lord, I was with a friend driving around, and we were doing stuff of which I'm not going to confess to you. But anyway, we're out doing stuff, and all of a sudden it just came very strong on me about getting water baptized and the need to get right with God. And so my friend turned to me. I hadn't said anything to him. My friend turns to me mysteriously and says, "Well, I know where there's a lake." And I just like, what? And so here we headed to Sandalwood Lakes off of Memorial Drive, close to 1 o'clock in the morning. And so here we go, and I'm starting to feel pretty good. I'm going to go over there, and he's going to put me under. My friend is. And so then I'll, hopefully have some peace with God. Well, we got there, unfortunately. When we got there, unfortunately, there was a policeman there, and I wasn't in the mood or condition to be able to confront him on any level. And so we drove off. And so I didn't get baptized at that point. But later from that, as some of you know my testimony, I ended up at a prayer garden, and there's where I met the Lord that night. So I kind of had the cart before the horse. I guess I didn't get the connection with you needed to be born again, and to signify that new relationship you have with God, you get water baptized. So here it was, May 2nd, I get saved. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm up. I'm going to church early. I get to church. We do Sunday school. That was kind of interesting. Didn't understand anything they said, but anyway, it sounded interesting. And listen to the preacher preach, and didn't understand any of that. But praise God, I was in the house of the Lord, feeling pretty good. That I could step in here with some assurance I wasn't going to get back whacked by the Almighty. And so. Feeling really good, because I'm now in the kingdom of God. I couldn't express that to you. I couldn't put it to you in biblical terms or theological terms. I just knew that I was okay with God now because I'd received Jesus, Lord and Savior. The next day, I went back to the church, walking was the pastor. And so the first thing on the conversation I had with him was, hey, I'd like to get... I think I said something along the line, dunked in water. I'd like I don't even think I knew the term. So I want to get dunked in water. And he said, can we do that today? And he said, I can have it ready for you on Sunday. And I didn't know why we couldn't do it today. I couldn't figure that out. But nonetheless, I know now because that water's cold. If he were going there and fill that tub, it's going to be freezing cold. You're going to know you got baptized. So anyway, I'm thankful they filled the tank up and it was, with warm water. So here I am. I am telling you, I am pumped up. I am pumped up. I'm fixing to finally do the deal. And it's in the right order. And so we go back in the back and they they give me this sheet to put on. That's the best way of describing it, with a hole in it for your head. And they had you take off your clothes, and which I wouldn't expect in that deal. And not only that, there was a young lady before me. So I'm standing up on the thing when she goes down in the water, and I'm just thinking how wonderful. I'm fixing to do it, and I'm watching it very intently because I wanted to make sure I didn't goof this deal up. And so he took her down, and when she came up, I saw more of her than I needed to see, just to tell you the truth. And I thought, oh my God, that's what's going to happen to me in front of all these people. So I thought for a period of time that the purpose of water baptism was to humiliate you. That, as a sign of your being humbled, I guess this is just the way the deal is. Everybody out there had it done, so I guess I got to get it done too. So it came my time. I tell you, I'm pumped. I don't know what's going to happen. In the movies, voices come out of heaven, angels come, flocking down. Sometimes there's earthquakes. There's all kinds of stuff that takes place. And so, man, he got a hold of me, put me under the water, and when I came up, absolutely nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. And there wasn't a sound in the place. Not a sound in the place. So there I am. All right. It's kind of anticlimactic. I could have used some instruction. It would have been nice to have set me down and said, here's what this experience is about. That I could have appreciated on a better level than my false expectations of what were going to take place. Eventually, the 800 or so people that were there clapped, so they were happy I was humiliated also. So anyway, so that's pretty much the ball game on that for me. Since then, in looking at scriptures, the dipping in the water has been something traditionally throughout Jewish history, and it signifies a form of purification of things. They've got, not only do you have the Ten Commandments, they got I don't know how many other laws that they got that they have to do. The cleansing of tools, the cleansing of meal things, forks, and all the kinds of utensils and things like it. All these things were a form not only of cleansing just for what bacteria might be on stuff, but as a continual sign of that which goes into water comes out purified. You with me? So this was throughout the Jewish customs, this thing about water and purification. But the term in Greek for baptizo literally means to dip, and it has two forms that it's used in Greek literature. One is when an ironsmith is working with a piece of steel and it's just hot and he's forming that thing and forming the thing, and then he takes whatever that is, let's say it's a sword, he takes that sword and then he baptizos it into the water. You with me? An even better one that I like in illustration is that of when someone takes a cloth and dips it into the dye. And when it's dipped into the dye, it takes on the characteristics of that fluid that's around it, whatever color that might be or assortment of colors it might be. And in the same way, water baptism is that mysterious act of us professing our love for Jesus Christ. It is the testimony that we say, hey, I've surrendered. I give up. I give my life to Jesus Christ. And now this is my act of coming before people, if there's any witnesses that can be there, even if it's just one, and saying, I surrender. And I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. It is at that point, we have already, before we get to that, we've already, because what is needed pre-water baptism is confession, is repentance, and acceptance of the forgiveness of God. You say amen? That's not done in the act. The act is signifying already what has been done in that covenant which you and I made with the Lord Jesus. And as you can read in scriptures, you know, like I think Philip and the eunuch, you know, they immediately the guy receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he puts him in the water right then. It's probably one of the reasons I thought, well, let's just do it right now. And did he have a whole bunch of teaching on it? No. Really, the teaching about it didn't really come out until we get to the Pauline letters, and Paul started talking more theologically and spiritually about what took place prior and at the time that we're water baptized. When we come, now you say, well, can you be sprinkled? Can you be just your head dunked? Or is the whole deal? Within the Greek, it's a total immersion is what it is. But I don't think God cares. I think whatever, you know, here's the better question. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? And that's bad theology, even that question. The reason I get baptized is because I'm saved. Not this act saves me. This is a testimony that I have been saved. The act is only the testimony, testifying part of it. And I would say to you, absolutely not. I think people can receive Jesus and they not get baptized for whatever reason there is, and they are secure. You're secure because of what Christ did, not what we do, in any form or fashion. Right? And I think I'd point to you the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Didn't get baptized, didn't get sprinkled, didn't get head dunked, didn't get anything. Right? And so I'm going to say to you, God's not as interested in the exact act being replicated every single time. That's based on what can be done. I think it's good that if we can take people and we can put them in water, which we're going to do. We're going to have a baptism pretty soon here at the church. I think we can go that route. But I'm telling you, if I'm in a hospital room and someone wants to be baptized, I'll get me a cup of water and baptize them right there. Right? The issue's not the act. The issue is the acceptance of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I'm stepping to the table and saying public. And so for me, it was very important on that day. I invited family. I invited my best friend who knew me better than anybody, if I can tell you that way. And when he saw he told me later, he said, you know, I wondered what you were doing. He said, there must have been some girl in that church. That's all I could figure. There was some girl in that church. And so he thought, he didn't think very highly of my motives of going to church. But he said, once I saw that and I saw the change, I knew God was real. And that's what this is about. The testifying that God is real, that Jesus Christ is real, and that we have not a relation with Him through a church or through a ministry. We have a personal relationship with Him, period, each and every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, He takes us as a group, but each and every one of us are a part of the body of Christ. And that's one of the things Paul indicates in water baptism, that we are put into the body of Christ at water baptism. Now, a couple of things take place. Scripture says that we are crucified with Christ. Heard that? So when Jesus was crucified, Chuck was crucified, even though Chuck wasn't around. Before the foundation of the world, it had already been determined the Son of God would die for Chuck and every human being that there ever is going to live. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, before it existed, it had already been determined and planned. And so over 2,000 years ago, Jesus going to the cross, I was in Him. You were in Him spiritually. We were first born of the flesh and into the first Adam. And within that family, there was nothing but sin and troubles and woes. Okay? But when we received Jesus Christ, the last Adam, we were then translated into the family of God. Amen? He did that. We didn't do that. Our simple job was to do nothing more than to receive Him and humble ourselves and, you know, confess our sins. However that formula went for you. It's not a matter of words. It's a matter of this. Sometimes I don't know exactly what to say to God. This does know what to say. If I'll open it up, it'll say everything that needs to be said to God. If I could keep this open. Constantly, things in the world are constantly trying to close it. And it takes work, does it not, to keep your heart open to God. So, we're crucified with Christ. But in water baptism, it said, Paul says, we are buried with Christ. As He was buried, our old person was buried with Him. Hallelujah. You can't just leave a dead thing hanging out there to rot. According to Scripture, that's a cursed thing. So, water baptism has been provided for us to take care of that old Chuck who's been crucified. When I received Jesus Christ as Lord, I activated that crucifixion in my life and buried in water baptism. So May 7th, 1970, that old bugger got buried. Hallelujah. Got buried. Then the Scripture says that we are, as Christ was raised, then we are raised up out of that water also. Amen? We're raised into a new moral life with God, empowered by God to live a different way. Hallelujah. Y'all are excited. Hallelujah. If I had water, I'd give y'all a chance to jump in it. But anyway, hallelujah. So, we have to get an understanding of that. Crucified with Christ, buried in water baptism. And here's the thing about that. See, I you may not, but I personally believe in zombies. And not just from those old movies in the 60s. I believe in zombies. I believe my old man's constantly trying to get up out of that grave and live. That old Chuck will knock on that door and he comes for, sometimes real humble to me. Sometimes, hey, just let me out. Let me out. Just for a while. You're in complete control now. I understand that. I'm sorry. You're in complete control now. I understand that. But you can let me out every once in a while. Let's let me out. Nobody will know. None of your friends are going to know. Pastor's too stupid. He ain't going to know. Nobody's going to know. And I think, well, God's going to get an answer. Yeah, but God's forgiven. Just let me out. And then when you want to put me back in, I'll go. I've not found that easy. Every time in the course of my 47 years of walking with God that I've ever let the zombie out, it was tougher getting him back in the box. Hallelujah. Yeah, he comes disguising us. I'll be your little pet. I'll be your little pet and serve you whatever you want to do, whatever you want to think, whatever you want to envision for your little life. And that's okay. You can still go to church. It don't matter. Don't matter. So, yeah, I believe in zombies. Now, y'all going to go out and tell somebody that my pastor believes in zombies. I believe that the old man is constantly trying to resurrect himself in our lives. And that we, Paul says, because we have been given the power of God in our lives, we tell him he's not gonna. You are not gonna live. It's a choice that I have to continue to make every day. Every day when I get up, I make the choice to live for God as well as I can, or let the little creature out of the box. Let the little monkey out. I am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. I am buried with Christ. But praise God, I am also raised with Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Raised and empowered by the grace of God to live out our lives now, not by our own strength, but by this, by He who now lives in us. He who replaces that first Adam in our lives and our soul. Now the last Adam has taken over. And the more I learn to yield to Him, the more that power is available to me to overcome things. Hallelujah. Not be overcome by things, but to be an overcomer. Not by gut determination. Not by law. Not by law. See, by law, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, okay. By law, I could get Daniel, a couple other brothers. We're going to go out to Loopy's tree, and y'all are going to put a rope around me and tie me up against that tree so I can't commit adultery. That's law. Unfortunately, Jesus came by in the New Testament and said, now every time a woman walks by and you look at her with lust in your heart, you've already done it. Oh. Did he not say that? So it's not by gut determination, it's by a changed heart and a changed life that God provides for us. And the more we say no to the old man, we're saying yes to the living King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our life, that He can live His life out through us. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know, surely repentance is closely linked with water baptism. It is, our testimony. Everything we're doing in water baptism is the testimony of what we've done with Christ. Did I actually stand up and somebody read me the four spiritual laws? Remember that track that was out there for so long? And here, say number one. Number two, three, four. I went through the spiritual laws. I didn't have no spiritual laws. All I knew to do was open this thing. And I opened it just a little, and He took it all. Just a little, and He took it all. So, repentance was the part before that, the prelude to it, that gave me the relationship with the Lord. I'm just signifying publicly. As my friend saw, the testimony, the old Chuck's dead, there's a new person living in this body now. Hallelujah. And like I said, he got born again. But it's also, if you remember, he told him there was another baptism. There was John's baptism. John's baptism was repentance and repentance from sin, but in preparation for the Jews and the Messiah coming. It was a different baptism. Are you with me? It was for the Jews, and it was, he being a prophet, was the forerunner of He who was to come. And so he was there to prepare the Jewish nation, those who would hear, to repent because the Messiah is coming. And in fact, he even said He's already here. Already here. He's one who I'm not worthy to even touch His sandals, unloose His sandals. But when He comes, He'll not baptize with water. He'll baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. So, when we talk about water baptism, we also, it's closely linked with that immersion, dipping. Once again, thinking of that cloth dipped into that dye, absorbing that dye into itself, and then coming out different than it went in, right? And the same thing with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, of which we'll talk about, you know, toward Pentecost. Right now, I just want to make sure we're on the same page about water baptism. You say, well, can you do infants? I think if a child understands and has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I say absolutely. Absolutely. What age is that? I have no idea. All of my children, grandchildren included, were saved young, filled with the Spirit young. Praise the Lord. It was good for me. Oh, Father. And so, yeah, we baptize them. Well, what if they don't completely understand it? I didn't understand it. In fact, what I understood about water baptism wasn't correct. Is that right? Even though I didn't understand it correctly, God knew what that was, and eventually that understanding came to me. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I think if you haven't been water baptized, if you never go and get water baptized, that's between you and God. I think from the very beginning of the church, though, it has been a rite of passage. It was unthinkable in the early church for someone to make a confession of faith and not be water baptized, as it was also being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I'd say to you, if you haven't been water baptized, we'd love to help you with that. Hallelujah. Now, I do have to tell you, we're a little archaic here. We don't have a nice, warm baptistry. We have a horse trough. And now I know some have done it at some local people's pool, but I'm not of that school. See, I think it ought to be where the whole church can witness that, where people can invite people to that and see that. So we're going to do the best we can to get it as warm as we can, amen, and do it when it's more warmer out than it is, you know, now. But we're going to do that. We're going to do that. We may have some of our children who want to get water baptized. Amen? Maybe some of you haven't been and you want to. Wonderful. I'm going to tell you, though, water baptism does not save you. It does not save you. Jesus saves you. And we get water baptized to testify of that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just some scriptures to finish this off. You know, once again, a lot of this is expressed in the Pauline scriptures. Water baptism is our entry into the Christian community, into the body of Christ. Galatians, he talks about that we're putting on Christ when we're doing water baptism. Romans, it's a representation of dying, being buried, and being raised again. We talked about that. Colossians, baptism is linked to the repentance of sin, rising to a new moral life. And finally, Matthew 28, and we'll close, okay? Matthew 28, 19, go and make disciples. He didn't just say go and make Christians. He said go and make disciples. Go make those who will not only receive salvation, but they'll also be his disciple and walk with him and do and obey what he asked of them. Go and make disciples of all nations. Once again, you know, that kind of kills that deal that I've heard sometimes in churches. Why are we doing all this stuff? Why are we doing mission stuff? Why are we sending, you know, money? We got people need to be saved here. Well, we're sending beans and rice. People need beans and rice right here. Right here. They need beans and rice right here. They sure do. They sure do. Sure do. Well, that's true too. And we want to do our portion of that. But it talks about all nations. The responsibility of the body of Christ to all nations. Hallelujah. That's why we're going to help send Brother Bob and Carol South Africa, which is March 5th. Somewhere there. I think the first week in March they'll be leaving. 7th? How many fingers is that? I saw a thumb. Okay. we're going to do that. Okay, so baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. There's a lot of debate in the church now with some folks. They just like strife. Their people just want laws. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Jesus' name only. Jesus' name only. Jesus' name only. Really? Well, I kind of think when I say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I'm kind of doing that. I'm kind of covering all the bases. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So, these things aren't laws. My gosh. My gosh, I don't know why we keep trying to return back to the law instead of walking in the fullness of God's grace and embracing everything it has for us. And that'll change us. That'll change us. Amen? Being in relationship with Jesus. Let's stand. Well, that came out better than what it looked at this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I wanted to do this in advance. Somewhere we'll certainly let everybody know through the holy announcements when we're gonna have a water baptism so that those who want to participate can. Amen. I've even known people who have been baptized before and wanted to be rebaptized. That's good too. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord God, that it is you who has saved us. There's no act on our part that can strengthen our position with you because we are in Christ. I thank you, Father, that everything you have predetermined, everything for our lives is fixed within the person and the relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else we do is testifying of that relationship. We are not under law. We are under the wonderful, powerful grace of God. Let us excel, Lord God, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for what you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone